Today in the Catholic world is Grandparents Day, because Friday was the feast of the Lord's grandparents, Saint Anne and Joachim. And then the day before that was Saint James Feast Day, the Greater, also the 56th anniversary of Paul VI's On Human Life, or Humanae Vitae. And then we also have today a different reading, a different gospel from St. John. Normally we've been in St. Mark, but because he's the shortest of the gospels, we're going to take a 6-week vacation from Mark, and we're going to listen to the Bread of Life discourse. And so in my mind, in a certain way, all of these three things can come together. On Grandparents' Day, I of course think of my grandparents, because they were very important in my life. I was fortunate enough to know all four of both sets of my grandparents, and then also my great-grandparents on my mother's side. She had her dad's dad and her mom's mom were both living until I was about 12 and 14. Since I grew up separate from them, from my mom's parents, we lived close to Dad's family, and we spent at least a weekend a month with them, and we saw them every week. And then every summer and a few other times, we would of course go out to the farm in western Kansas. And then as I got older, I got to stay longer. I'm not sure whose idea that was, my mother's or my grandparents. But it ended up that I would spend most of the summers on the farm in western Kansas. Both sets of my grandparents were farmers, and there's just something about farming that makes you realize that you need to make an act of faith. All it takes is a storm to wipe out your livelihood for a year. And when I think of Humanae Vitae, Paul VI took a very courageous stance, you could say in a certain way, although it was the constant teaching of the church, to reinforce what God teaches on marriage and family. And there's a beautiful reality to that. Married couples are supposed to love like God loves, freely, faithfully, totally, and fruitfully. Now, between the two sets of my grandparents, there were widely different circumstances. My dad's parents didn't marry until they were much older. They were 15 years older than my mom's parents, and they got married 6 months earlier. And for different reasons, they were only able to have one child. Mom's parents got married in their early 20s and had 15 children. And getting to spend time with my grandparents, I got to learn great deal about the love that it takes to make a marriage work and the trust it is in God. Because when you love freely, faithfully, totally, and fruitfully, you can have 15 kids sometimes. And sometimes you can have 19, like my great-grandparents. And sometimes you can only have one, like my dad's parents. But I remember being so struck by that when I was a child, that when I was a child, I thought, when I grow up, I'm going to get married and I'm going to have 20 kids so I can have the biggest family of anybody I know. And so God made me a priest. So the reality of that union of a husband and a wife is a natural union that's existed from Adam and Eve. But when Jesus Christ came to this earth, he started the sacraments. He made a way that his grace would be tangible to us until he comes back in glory or we go to see him in heaven. And as a Catholic, we believe that the sacrament of marriage is a sacrament. Our Protestant friends, they accept that marriage is important, but they do not think it's a sacrament. But we firmly believe it's an outward sign instituted by Christ that gives grace. The Lord shows his love for that sacrament as the first miracle that he performs at the wedding feast of Cana. And when a man and a woman come to get married, they stand before the altar, and before they've exchanged their vows, the priest asks them, did you come here freely, to give yourself totally, to be faithful, and to accept children lovingly? And if they say yes to those questions, we then proceed to the vows, because that's the condition upon entering into the sacrament of marriage. You can't be coerced, you can't have conditions, you have to love like God loves. And what a beautiful thing that is. Now, obviously, husbands and wives don't do that perfectly like God does. But what a beautiful thing it is that the church holds that up, that marriage is the image of the love of the Father. And the whole of society is founded upon that union. This is a truth that we have to recover. And the way we recover it isn't necessarily that we go out and start telling people, although that's a good thing to do, but we live it. And when you think about Blessed Sacrament, the 9 o'clock Mass in particular, there's a beautiful sound quite regularly that reminds us that people are living this truth. And it's the children. Thanks be to God, we baptize in the neighborhood of 70 to 90 children a year. That's a beautiful thing for a parish, because it's a reflection of life. It's a reflection of the love of a husband for a wife and a wife for a husband. Now, because I have grandparents who had 15 children, I actually have no misconception about how difficult it is to raise children. It is hard. St. Francis de Sales says just about marriage, it's the hardest thing to do on earth. And that's why God gives his grace. And when Paul VI wrote Humanae Vitae, he didn't write it because he wanted to be negative. He wrote it because he understood what's at stake when people don't follow God's teaching. We're talking about the Lord of heaven and earth who wants to give a husband and wife his very life at the heart of their marriage. And every time that couple is loving freely, faithfully, totally, and fruitfully, they receive his grace. And it's not the one-time grace only at the day they get married. The marital grace is a grace that grows throughout the marriage. Because marriage is a view to something even greater. It's a view to heaven. All of you, all of us, we belong to a domestic church. When we were children, it was those of our parents. For those of you who are married, it's your home right now. And God wants to bless that home because the domestic church is in a certain way foundational. Last week we celebrated the dedication of our church and the prayers point to the living stones. We have brick stones and we have living stones. And that's you. Because we're supposed to be on pilgrimage, on a pilgrimage to heaven. And anytime we lose sight of the end, we can take a wrong turn. And thanks be to God, he's merciful and he'll allow us to confess our sins and get right back on the path. And so today, as we celebrate our grandparents, as we recall Paul VI's prophetic teaching on Humanae Vitae, we also have the beginning of the Eucharistic discourse. For 6 weeks, we're going to listen to John chapter 6. And in a real way, what should be at the heart of every marriage is the Eucharistic banquet. Because that's where all of this gets drawn together. The husband and the wife living their sacrament, the children, the priest living his sacrament of priesthood, all united at the altar in praise of God, seeking the kingdom. And he gives us his very body and blood when we're in a state of grace that pours out grace into us to make us what we're supposed to be. As St. Augustine says, Christian, become whom you have received. And so let's pray today and every day. Let's pray for our grandparents. I hope that yours have been as influential as in your life as mine have been in mine. And let's pray for our married couples. Marriage is tough, and we need to offer not only our prayers, but our support to our friends who are married, to our sons and daughters, and to everyone who's seeking to live out this beautiful vocation. And then let's remember what this is all about. It's all about heaven. And right here at Blessed Sacrament, at this Mass, or whatever Mass you go to normally, we're preparing ourselves for the reality that we all seek through the sacraments we receive, which is union with God forever.